Report, and I mean, I like to brag on God, and so therefore I feel like, you know, when I tell God, okay, Lord, you did this for me again, so I'm going to get up and brag about you. About a week and a half ago or so, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning in a very pain. I was so much in pain, and I remember the first thing that came to my mind was Sister Joyce told me 2-3 years ago that she's had labor pains and she's had kidney stones, and kidney stones pain is worse. And I'm like, oh my God, now I know I'm not pregnant, So this has got to be a kidney stone. I mean, I might look like I am, but I'm not. But anyway, oh my goodness, I was hurting so bad. And I just kept on, you know, I have a high tolerance of pain. So I just, you know, kept just walking around. I couldn't sit down. I couldn't stand up. I couldn't lay down. So that morning, again, Bonnie texts me or something, and to check on me about something. And I said, please call. I think I told her to call me. And she could tell I was in pain. And she goes, girl, I'm going to request a prayer. I said, please do. So she did. And Stan wasn't home. Nobody was home. And finally he got home. I called him and I said, are you on your way home? He goes, yeah, I'll be there in about 5 minutes. I said, I need to go to ER. I called my doctor. They're not in. They're closed. This was Veterans Day. So I never heard of a doctor being closed on Veterans Day, but they were. So anyway, he took me to the ER, and I waited out there, and I kept standing up, sitting down. And, you know, it's like they could tell, but they, you know, got blind to my pain because they took me back there, and they took a urine specimen. And then they said I was not. It was a non-emergency. They were not going to treat me. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I said, what about the test? The urine? Oh, that's okay, you know. So I left, and Stan said, let's go to Sam's Pharmacy, because my pharmacist, she's real good. She'll tell us what to do. So she did. She said, I've got a place for you to go, Velocity Urgent Care. And I said, well, are they open? And she said, let me call. So she called them, and sure enough, they were open. They saw me right away. They took a urine specimen, and he found a lot of blood in my urine. And he goes, you've got a kidney stone. And all the pain, everything, all the symptoms, you know, my legs were hurting, everything. And he gave me a shot to relieve the pain. And, I was so thankful for that. And so he said, he goes, why didn't you go to the hospital? I said, I did. So they could do an MRI. And I said, they would not treat me. Who said that? And I said, I don't know, some weird named doctor. And he goes, well, was it a woman? I go, yes. What color hair? I said, black. He said, I'll be back. He come back, and he said, I found her. She goes, is this her name? I go, yeah, which I can't remember now. But anyway, he goes, if you are in deep pain tonight, after midnight or whatever time, you go there. He goes, they will see you. I promise you they will see you. And I said, okay. And he said, but if you don't want to go there, you don't feel comfortable, go to St. Vincent's or any, you know, UMS, wherever you want to go. I said, okay. He says, because I know this is very, very unbearable. I said, okay, well, I'll make it. And so he gave me a prescription. And the next morning, I went to do a CAT scan because he wanted to see where it was located, how big it was, how he was going to treat it and all that. And when he got the results, the nurse called me and he said, well, he goes, good news, but very puzzling reaction from your doctor, you know, the doctor. And I said, what? She said, there is no kidney stone. And I said, really? He goes, well, what's the puzzling? He goes, well, he's very puzzled because he knows that's what it was. And I just had a big grin on my face. I knew that God had took care of that. And you know how, I don't know if y'all ever had, like, y'all feel so good when you're telling somebody your news, but then somebody tries to bring you down. Well, somebody goes, well, it could be lodged somewhere, hiding, you know. So I asked the doctor that. They go, no, the CAT scan would have detected it. It's gone. And I'm like, yes, thank you, Lord. And I mean, I went all day, no pain. The next day, I still haven't got no pain. I mean, if he comes back, hey, so be it. But he took care of it then. I mean, I am giving him the credit. God busted my kidney stone. Woo! And I know that's what it was because I was so much in pain. I mean, I like I said, I've had labor pains, but this was like, no, God. I hope nobody, I know the ones that you have had it, I probably know what I'm talking about. I know my son has. But anyway, I wanted to, you know, praise him and give him honor and glory and let him know that I appreciate, like, he did it again for me. He's done it. I am not worthy of all this, but I know he's got a reason, you know, because he wants me to praise. He knows that I'm going to brag about him, I guess. And plus, all the prayers are going up. He probably thought, oh, here we go. Okay, I hear you guys praying for her. Okay, I'll touch her, which he did. And I'm thankful for it. And thank you, everybody, for praying.
want to say how thankful I am to be here tonight and how thankful as you serve us. I just want to say how thankful I am for this morning service. It was very, very good. I was very, very encouraged after this morning service. Sister Inez really lifted me up, even though I know she didn't mean to. She wasn't saying this to lift me up, but I know she lifted everybody, but it really encouraged me. And then Aunt Lynette's song, that also encouraged me about staying through the fire. He's going to help me get through the fire. And Sister Inez, it almost feels like a battle call the way she was saying, that's my God, you know, Abraham, Moses, Gideon. And it's got me to thinking, that's people God was with through all those times. Those are the same God who's with us today. Yeah. And it's got me to thinking, oh, thanks. I do move around a lot. You can just leave it off.
Okay.
But it's got me to thinking how thankful I am that God is with us. And no matter where we go, you know, I was kind of in a bad mood this morning. I'm not going to lie. I was tired. I was grumpy. Did not want to be here. And after hearing Sister Inez's testimony, I just want to jump up and down and just raise my hands and say, I'm just thankful. I'm going to stop fumbling, just put it in my pocket. I'm just thankful. That's my God who has saved Gideon, who is God, David's mighty men, who that he delivered in battle. I mean, have you ever read about David's mighty men? Those guys were bad to the bone. Those guys, they went down in a snowy pit to go kill a lion for no reason. I mean, God was with them because they knew God was over them. You know, God was holding they were holding God's ever-changing hand. And her song, My God is Real. He is real in my soul. Please, can you put that up there for me, please? He is real. He's with us here today. My God is the one who saved Gideon. My God is the one who saved Moses. My God is the one who called Abraham. My God is the one who helped Sister Linda out with her kidney stones. My God is here. My God is here. Our God is here. It's not just my God. It's not just Caleb's God. It's not just Joe's God. It's not just Sister Linda's God. It's our God. He's the one who holds us. He's the one who covers us. That's one thing my dad has always told us. You know what, Zach, even if you fall away right now, you are under our God's covering. You are under our God's covering. I just want to say how thankful I am to be under a covering. And that's the song, My God is Real. He is real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Can you feel him in your soul tonight? I know I can. I know after that testimony, after that song, my toes start bouncing up and down. I was thinking, oh, it's good to be here. It's good to be here. All right, all right, all right. I'm happy. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what God gave me, for what God has put down in my soul, for what God has put over our hearts, the brothers and sisters my God has given me. I'm thankful. You know, if anything else, you can raise your hand and say, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for where God has put me. I'm thankful for where God has placed me in my life. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. God was dealing with me in church. I mean, so many things were running through my head before service. But how thankful we should be. How many times God has saved me. How many opportunities God has, plucked me up and said, I want to hear for you. I want to save you. How many times God has done that for people in the Bible. My mind goes back to Paul. You know, when he was sailing, and he was captured. He was going to go to Caesar. And he was going to go get interrogated and see what was going on here. And that storm blew in. And he was fixing to get blown away. And he wasn't worried. Because he knew who his God was. He knew his God is real and he was in his soul. So he kept cool. There was nothing going on. And then he found those people were getting scared. They were throwing stuff overboard, just trying to stay afloat. And in storms, you don't keep your sails down. You don't want that wind to blow. You want to try to stay in one spot. You put your anchors down. You don't go anywhere. And Paul finally told the Romans, he said, throw the sails down. Pull the anchors up. Let's see where God's going to blow us. And God blew them and hit that island. And it crashed. Paul survived. Everybody survived on that ship. And just because of that, that whole island got to know God that day. Paul saved them. That serpent bit him on the hand. And he educated those people in God. And it's got me to think, how much sometimes you don't feel encouraged. How many sometimes, I wish I could be somewhere else. Ride a motorcycle, be sitting home watching football, the Dallas Cowboys or something like that. But we have no idea what God has in store for us. We have no idea where God's going to blow us next, where else he's going to put us. And it got me to think about how thankful we should be in any circumstance. In any circumstance, how we should be thankful. Because, we are children of the King. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood flows through my vein. And it got me to thinking, it was our last ministers' meeting. I wasn't old enough to drive. It wasn't last minute for me, a couple ones ago. I wasn't old enough to drive. I was going with Dad, and we were picking up ministers for a ministers' meeting. And we picked up these Haitian brothers. Now, they spoke a little bit of English, not much. And we took them to the hotel, and it was in the bad part of town, demilitarized zone. And they were just kind of like, oh, brother, what are we going to do here? And they were just not happy. No, they were happy, but they were kind of, you tell, kind of scared. And so we took them somewhere else to a little bit better motel, not much better, to a little bit better motel. And then as we were leaving, I saw both those Haitian brothers raise their hands and say, thank you. And just sit there and praise God right there in front of that terrible motel room. And that was years ago, and that still touches me. That, you know, no matter what the situation, no matter how bad of a motel it was, they were still praising God and saying, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this, you know. And no matter what the situation, the Dominican brothers, the Haitian brothers, they amaze me. And they never cease to amaze me how much they praise God. And no matter what situation, no matter what poverty they're in, they praise God. And one of the verses that came to mind was, I think it was 1 Thessalonians. I'm not much of a Bible reader over the pulpit, but this one did come to mind. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5, and I think it starts at 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that we are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Not some men, all men. Not just the people you want to, all men. That's very part. You know, it should be underlined, highlighted in every color imaginable, all men. Not just who you want to, all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. No, don't quench that Spirit. Whenever I think of quenching the Spirit, I think of a rag getting wrung out, and there's nothing else to wring out. No, we want to keep that rag nice and wet. You know, just keep on wringing it out. You know, it starts getting dry, dip it again. Wring it out. Do not quench to keep that rag wet. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Isn't that just pray without ceasing, quench not the Spirit? Man, is that not an encouraging set of verses? I've read that today. I was thinking, oh Lord, that's just what I needed to hear. And do we just need to hold to God's unchanging hand and stay encouraged, my brothers and sisters? You know, it's easy. It's easy to get discouraged with this. It's easy. You know, anybody says, oh, this is the easiest thing you'll ever do. Not always true. Not always true. Sometimes I get discouraged. You know, you go through work and life, you know, you get down on yourself and you just get discouraged. And you got to start thinking. Sometimes you got to get out of that funk, get out of that ditch. Got me to thinking, you know, I work on some of the computers, and those computers are always on the ground, kind of low, so I'm the shortest guy there, so of course they get me to go work on it. And so I get down, I'm sitting there messing with the wires and everything, I'm done, I just sit there. I'm thinking, you know, I really don't want to get up. This is kind of comfortable. Why would I want to get in? This is just a carpet. This is kind of comfortable. But then it got me to thinking, it's like, why not get up? Why? I mean, you know, I'm happy right here. Should I be complacent when there's a nice little chair, an exam chair sitting right there? I can get up and go sit in that one. Why would I sit here? And we just stay out of our complacency and just say, thank you, Lord. You know, sometimes, like, it really encouraged me going to Caleb and Hannah's wedding. You know, knowing that we're not in this alone. That does so much to encourage me right there that, you know, no matter what we're going through, no matter where I go, there's brothers and sisters who serve the same Lord, who serve the same God and have the same teachings as us. And that really, that's always blessed me. Going to Dawson Springs, Kentucky, or Los Angeles, California, you go to Houston, Texas, there are like-minded brothers and sisters. And that does a whole lot to encourage me. I just want to encourage all my brothers and sisters here tonight and just lift your eyes unto the hills. That's one of my favorite verses. Lift mine eyes unto the hills, from which cometh to my health. Unto the Lord who made heaven and earth. I mean, Lord, bless them, bless them. I mean, think about it. Lift your eyes unto the hills. You know, it's easy when you're looking at your shoes to stay down. Oh, yeah, nice shoes. But, you know, you want to get encouraged? Lift your eyes up. Look forward ahead. Look for the sun that's rising towards you and say, I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be a child of the King. Woo, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad to be here tonight.
for Brother Zach got up, just kind of along the same lines, I was just thinking, not really just very much to say, but just looking around at each and every one of us, the things that we've gone through in our lives, how good God is, you know. Just like Brother Nathan talking about the things with his taxes and those things, have nothing but God is good. And thinking about my mother-in-law was on her deathbed, but God was good. This is what it is. God is good. Yeah. Just each one of us in our lives, you know, you think, you know people how they seem on the outside, but we know how we are on the inside. We know how we really are. And I just think, oh, God, you're good. I know me. God, you're so good. You're so merciful. And just think of what he's ever my children and how faithful he is. And I don't want to ever lose my confidence in that. But like you said, you know, I want to keep my eyes up to the hills and not let the day-to-day things get me down. I was just thinking, you know, my career, what I wanted to do when I got married, I wanted to be a mom. And that's what I did. I was a mom. And that part's pretty much over with. And so now I have a job career. And wow. What a slap in the face of reality of what's out there. But it has been hard. I want to say, forget you. I don't need this. I don't need this kind of pressure. And I don't need all this drama. But God's been so good. So I was telling Sister Gladys, this is my job. It's a God thing. I'm dyslexic. I'm not good at math, and I'm the finance administrator in our office. And it's just a God thing, and I know he knows where I am. And I just kept thinking in my mind, you know, just God is so good. God is so good. And there's times that I don't feel I'm worthy to be his child, but I'm just so thankful for his mercy and so thankful for each and every one of you, and just ask you, just keep me in your prayers that I can just keep following in his will.
I feel like I need to get up, but I don't know if I can speak without crying. First, I want to thank everyone that helped last night with that, the Fall Fest, the brethren that cooked, the sisters that got in and helped me. It's totally way out of my league. My husband is he loves to do stuff like that, but I, not so much. I would, Sister Cindy said it well last night when she sent me the thing after we got back home. I'd rather be at home holding my pup all by myself. It was just like perfect, you know, because it's not that I don't love anybody, because I love everybody here, but I would rather be off by myself, and you know, I feel safe and secure. You know, you put me out in the front and I'm a nervous wreck. But and by the time yesterday I got here, I woke up yesterday morning and I was not feeling good, and I even wanted to tell Nathan, you go on without me, you do it, I'm staying home, because I just was feeling physically sick. And I was like, no, you know, get up, get dressed, you're a big girl, you can do it. And I'm like, okay, God, you provide the help I need, because I was clueless. I told Sister Lynette, that's not me. I don't even know what I'm doing. Setting up the table, you know, it's something simple. But for me, it's like, okay, God, send the help, because I don't even know how to set up the crazy table for it. So I get up here, and Sister Tally came up and helped. And I really appreciated that, Sister Tally, because I know there's things you needed to be doing, and you took time out. And, Sister started coming in, you know, Sister Hannah, you know, brand new. She got there, you know, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And at that point, there was nothing to do, and I felt bad. I'm like, I don't know, you know, but just to know you were willing to help really encouraged me. But finally, when everything started rolling, you know, I'm like, wow, people really do care, you know, and I know that's something small, trivial probably for some, but for me, it just let me know that, you know, y'all care, and I appreciate every one of y'all. If there's not a person here that I don't appreciate and don't look, and I'm thankful for every one of y'all. But I wanted to share a testimony. It's kind of a, it's still a progressing thing, but I wanted to share. I've requested prayer for my father with his injury on his job, cutting off the end of his finger and the possibility of even losing it completely. And it's been an ongoing process. And in Texas, if the company you work for doesn't have workman's comp, doctors won't see you. Your medical insurance won't cover anything. And so he kept going to different doctors, and they kept sending him away. He went to like 4 or 5 different doctors, and they said, nope, you go home. We're not seeing you. And it was 13 days before he finally got the treatment he needed. Their primary care doctor finally had mercy and told my mom, bring him in. You know, this could kill him. And they finally got him in, started getting treatment, and it's been up and down. My mom would call me, you know, appointment was good. The next week, she'd call, it was bad. The next week, it's good. You know, like I think I told Sister Cindy, I said, it's been a whirlwind of emotion, you know, worrying about it. Last week, it was not, you know, 2 weeks ago, it was bad. His finger was completely back. His hand had went completely white and numb, and the doctor said, bring him in right now. He's probably developed a blood clot, and, you know, if a blood clot shoots off, it can kill you. So they got him in there, but in the meantime, my mom knew they were having prayer meeting at church. And she called the sisters, and they got right on it. And it's one thing those sisters can do there. They know how to pull on the Lord. And I think I said something on Facebook asking for prayer. And by the time they got him to the doctor took off the bandage that was around his hand, and the finger was completely black. It started changing color right before their eyes. The doctor is standing there going, wow, I don't know what's going on. And his finger turned completely the right color. His hand was completely white, started changing to the right color. And the doctor just said, I don't know what to say. I'm just going to dress it and send you back home. If it does this again, take him to the ER. And they took him back Tuesday. And I'm not a medical professional, so I don't really fully understand what all has been going on through the whole process. But the whole back part of his finger, because he got it caught, his hand caught in his printing press, and it took off the end of his finger past the first joint, and then all on the back side of it, there was no skin. It was all bone and nerves are exposed. They kept telling him, you're going to lose this finger. You're going to lose it. Well, Tuesday, the doctor said, the only explanation I have for you, Mr. Denman, is it's a miracle. There's new skin growing. The bone is reforming in there. The tip of the finger, what it cut off, was they knew they were going to have to, well, they said they were going to have to cut more off and then skin graft it. Tuesday, the doctor said, I'm going to cut the end of this off, or the skin, or the dead, whatever it was, skin. I'm not there, so I'm not seeing it. But he said, I'm just going to cut this off and see what's going on under here. He cut it off. There's new flesh. It's all pink. It's all new. And I was listening to my mom tell me that on the phone. I was like, wow. You know, that don't just happen. You know, it's, you know, medically the doctor told him, said, this ain't supposed to be happening. But I told mom, I said, Mom, people are praying. And my dad got up and testified in church, thanking the sisters for praying, and the brother Kennedy got up right behind him and said, because I'm not sure how much to share, but my dad has been, he was raised by a hard man. He was a hard father, hard-hearted. And you walked around wondering half time if he even loved you. But you know, on one hand, you know he did, but on the hand, you're, why are you so mean? Why are you so hard? You know, do you even love me? So that's just how, you know, he was raised that way. That's how he brought us up. He's turned 70 in October, and this accident happened the beginning of October. And the only thing I can say, Brother Kennedy said it best. He got up right behind my dad and said, God is not just working, healing you on the outside. He's healing you on the inside. He's giving you a new heart because he's just, I told Nathan, I said, it's not even my dad. It's like he's very loving. I'll call now. And Mama put me on speakerphone, and he's sitting there laughing and joking, talking to me. We've never had a relationship, but so I know God is working in that area. So if he's healing him on the outside, showing him, but I think he's using that to show him what he's doing on the inside of him. He's healing him on the inside also, and I'm just very thankful. And Sister Linda, when she was talking, I had a situation last week. I didn't go to the doctor, so I don't know if it was a kidney stone, but I've had them before, and that's exactly what happened before. But I had an experience last week, and I got on Facebook and messaged some sisters in the church privately and said, ask them to pray for me, because I was in severe pain, really hurting really bad. And asked them to pray, and by the time I went to bed that night, the pain had eased up to the point I was comfortable. I was still in pain. I'm still having pain, but it's bearable. So I feel like God touched me through y'all's prayers, and keep praying for me. And I just want to go on with the Lord and do what he would have me to do.
Service to follow up. Zach gave some good words and heard some wonderful testimonies. I think one thing that I feel like God's really trying to tell us today, earlier this service, and tonight is that he's really hard to Does that work? There we go. He is real. Can you hear me now? He is real. My God is real. Strynez, you have no idea how much good it did me to hear that song. That song has a special meaning to me. Back when I came back to church several years ago, that was one of my favorite songs to listen to sing. And every now and then I'd catch myself singing, whether I was, you know, working, playing, didn't matter what. I'd be standing there singing, my God is real. He's real in my soul. And I'd just feel the Spirit all over me. I'd like to share a little testimony behind that song. It was around that time I started coming back to church, and I was working at Chick-fil-A at the time. And I was in the back of the building. They had me wiping down trays. That's a fun job. It's a really fun job. It's not repetitive. You get a good variety of things you can do. I mean, instead of just wiping down a tray, you can flip it up in the air, grab it. I mean, I'm kidding. I never did that. but I caught myself singing that song, my God is real. And then there was this really nice old lady. Her name was Frances. We all called her Miss Frances. And she Her main job, they usually had her working in the dining room. She'd go around, she'd talk to the customers, she'd wipe down the tables, you know. Really friendly lady, wonderful. And she caught me singing that song one day. She said, "What are you singing?" And I said, "My God is real." And she said, "I like that song." She kind of did her hands like that. And every now and then she'd come back to me, I'd be doing whatever. She'd come back. She'd say, "Hey, what's our song?" And I'd forget what I was singing. I couldn't remember at all. And I'd say, "Well, let me get back with you later today. I'll have to think about that." And I'd be thinking about it all day, and then it hit me, "Oh, yeah." And then I'd find her again. I'd say, "Miss Francis?" And she'd say, "Yeah." I'd say, "My God is real." And she'd say, "That's it. That's my song right there. Thank you so much. I love that song." And it just went on for a really long time, and we had a lot of fun with that song. It was, "My God is real." Some people may have thought we were crazy, you know, walking around wiping down trays on the headset. "Oh, I'm so sorry, sir. I wasn't talking to you." But I left Chick-fil-A, moved on to bigger, better things, and I got together with a buddy of mine that I worked with at Chick-fil-A, and we talked, had a good time, and I asked him, "Well, what about Miss Francis? How's she doing?" And he said, "Oh, she passed away." And I don't know. That just hit me. I said, "Wow." I said, "I love that lady," and he said, "Yeah, she was a good lady. We miss her. We had a little get together at Chick-fil-A. All talked about our experiences with her. It was fun." I don't know. I thought about that, and I didn't know her very well, but I didn't know how her relationship with her family was, or even how her overall relationship with God was. But I started wondering what would have been different if maybe she had not caught me singing that song, and maybe she had not seen that joy. Was she going through a rough time? Would she have passed away discouraged? Would she have passed away feeling like God wasn't real? Maybe she was lonely. Maybe she didn't feel like she had anybody. I mean, we wear a mask sometimes. I think the majority of us wear a mask, even when, when we're feeling down. Sometimes you have to wear a mask for the good of others. If you're working in an environment where you have to deal with people and you have to look happy even if you're not. Put on a fake smile. "Hi, welcome to so-and-so, can I do this for you?" Or, "I like to show you our new program we're doing." And when really, that person may be feeling very lonely. They may go home feeling like nobody cares. And maybe somebody needs to hear that God is real. Like Zach said about being on the floor, why not move up to that comfortable chair? We can get used to being where we are, but there are greater places. And there are a lot of people in the world that are just sitting on the floor, laying on the floor, that may not even know that chair exists. We may need to show them that chair. We may need to show them a better way. And what am I doing if I go out there tonight? If I go back to my job, if I interact with customers, and I'm acting like my God's not real, what's wrong with a little singing every now and then? Saying, "My God is real." What's wrong with a little praise every now and then? We can praise Him in here. We can praise Him in here. It's so easy to praise Him in here, because we're all praising Him. But how much of an impact could we have on people if we're praising Him out those doors? If we're praising Him driving down the highway? If we're praising Him walking through the store. I mean, we can sit here and we can sing, "My God is real," but do we mean it? Can we comprehend the meaning of those four words, "My God is real"? He is real. He is real. He is real. Listening to these testimonies, "Sister Linda, your kidney stone disappeared. God is real. Sister Gladys, that finger was healed. God is real." You went through a trial. He brought you out of it. Oh, you got through that yourself. No, he's real. He's real. He is real. That's something to praise him about. That is something to give him a praise about tonight. Just because he's real. Just because he is real. And just because in his realness he chose to think of me. He chose to think of you. He is real. And his love is real. I have no idea where I'm going, but I just wanted to stand and say, I believe he's real. I believe he's real. I'm thankful to be here tonight. I'm thankful for this opportunity to be here with God's people. It's an easy thing to overlook. It's an easy thing to take for granted. I know I say that all the time. I know I say that all the time. But it is. It really is. But he's real. He is real. Even if I don't acknowledge it, he is still real. And even if I don't acknowledge it, he still chooses to be real in my life. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to sit down now, but I just want to give him a praise. I just wanted to praise him for what he's done, what he's doing with for us. Woo! Praise his name. Hallelujah. Praise.
I wanted to stand up and praise the Lord. And glad I'm here. The first thing I want to say is I got such a blessing out of the youth. You taught me very much. The youth is a future of this body church. The future when God is going to send down his power. Some of you sitting up here may be anointed so that your shadows, get this, your shadows as you walk down toward the Golden Gate somewhere here in Little Rock or wherever, your shadow would just heal that leprosy, or in this case, cancer. It might just melt away the kidney stone in the sister here. Now, what I wanted to tell you about, the youth is a future, and it is so joyful for I'm a historian as well as a mechanical engineer. Now, Josephus taught that Mark is not an apostle. Mark got his teaching when he was 14 year old, 15 and 16, around the apostles. Some of them said he was young enough to hide under a table because they didn't think very much of any. They didn't think very much of women, and they didn't think of very much of anybody that was macho and at least 20 year old. But Mark is a fast moving. It tells a story, and God is a teaching, and God taught him by overhearing the teaching of Jesus Christ. And then at that time, the apostles tried to shoo the younger than 21 people away from Christ. Get out of here. Get out of here. Let these bearded men get up here. And Christ, you've heard sermons of it. Christ said, unless you become as a little child, bring them on to me, he said. So he probably got old Mark by the hand and brought him in. And he said, unless you in your heart, he told these, even the Pharisees, unless you in your heart as a little child, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So in closing, I want to say I've got such a blessing. As June has told you several times, I've searched 12, 14 churches, and I've never seen the efficiency and the love pouring out with the Holy Spirit that I've seen here. And I'm deeply appreciative of all of your encouragement, and especially wanted to tell you, according to historian Josephus, this Mark, go read it. It moves so fast. He says a lot in a few words, and it doesn't get into this Pauline English that hooks one to 14 other places. That's my favorite book. And thank you so much for your uplifting me every meeting. Thank you so much.
I had something on my heart, but I was hoping somebody else would get up. all right, so y'all gonna have to put up with me for a minute. I really appreciate what I feel like God's been here, been talking to us and feeling his presence. You know, that's what I come to church for, and to see what God has to say to us, and to grow a little closer to him and to my brothers and sisters, and maybe learn a little bit of something. Just seems like there's always something a little bit more that we can learn. And of course, what I have to say, I'm sure you've already heard. But I was thinking about what Brother Painter was talking about this morning, and I've had this on my heart for a few days now, about how do we make it through our temptation, our trials, and our temptations, and how do we stay encouraged? And I really feel like that's what we've been hearing today, that to stay in the faith, to stay encouraged, to stay strong. There's a Brother Smith. He rarely posts anything on Facebook, but I noticed the other day Sister Gail had mentioned something about going through a trial or something, and he mentioned that if you if you stay with God's principles, it'll help you get through them. Of course, I'm thinking, well, why didn't you give us what some of those principles were? So my mind was thinking about it. You know, what are the principles that we have to have in our heart, in our life, to help us get through our trials? But, you know, it's something that we have to have in our, that's what we come to church for, is to build up those principles in our life so that when we go through trials, that we'll have something substantial. Jesus said that if you build your house on the rock, then when the storm comes, that your house will stand. And so, there's also a scripture that Paul gave in, I think it's in Corinthians, where that he said that every man's work will be tried by fire to see of what sort it is. And so what we're building up in our lives are what we're putting into our lives is going to determine how well we stand. And I was thinking about this scripture in Ephesians chapter 5. If it's all right with you, I'll read some of this. And I think this here, it just kind of gives us some basic principles of how do we withstand our trials. One scripture, Paul said that take heed that if you think you stand. Now it slipped my mind. Let you fall. And one it said, if you stand, how's it say? It says, stand therefore. When you've done all you can to stand. Stand therefore. All right. I meant chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Starting verse 10 said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. His encouragement we've been getting tonight, that's one of the things that we have to have. Helps you get through your trials when you stay encouraged. And when we see a brother or a sister going through a trial, if we encourage them. You know, I really appreciate what Brother Caleb was saying. You know, everything that we do, if you can say one word of encouragement, you don't know what a difference it's going to make. And what he was saying is true. You don't know what you know, God may have put that in your heart to say that, to encourage, to be that word fitly spoken. Like Brother Caleb, that was a word fitly spoken. It's like apples of gold and pictures of silver. And so it's nourishing. It's beautiful. And so let's be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And, sister, I was, in a way, she was cracking me up a little bit, but it was true. Sister Inez was talking about those people inside of her, and she thought there might have even been three in there. She wasn't sure. But Jesus, he had, the devil spoke to him, you know, and so don't be discouraged and feel like, you know, there's something wrong with you when you got a voice inside of you trying to talk you into doing something wrong. Because we're born in this flesh, we got to deal with it. And so, but thank God that we have a new man. Hallelujah. If you have the Holy Ghost, you've got something to stand on. You got some strength there to help you in time of trouble. And so, says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." Here we go. That's the scripture I was quoting. "Having done all to stand, stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Okay? Having your loins girt, truth. That is a principle. If you have that truth and you have your, Paul said, think on these things, whatsoever is true. And we have those things, the thoughts of things that are pure and true and lovely. Yeah, all those good things. That'll help you get through those times. The breastplate of righteousness, the things that are right, you know. If you have a heart to do the things that are right, and thank God for imputed righteousness, because I know I have failed many, many times, but our faith, which we read where Abraham's faith was counted as righteousness, and so our faith can sometimes stand in the gap when we don't have the righteousness we really want to have. But we can be righteous. I'm not saying we can't be. I'm just saying that thank God for imputed righteousness. And so faith what's the next thing he said? Feet shod with a preparation. Where are we at? 15, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, peacemakers. And I was thinking about that this morning when Brother Painter was talking. You know, God's called us to be peacemakers. And so when we have brethren that I was talking to the youth class, my little youth class, let me tell you something. We've got some little boys, some young kids that are really getting, that have a lot of knowledge about the Bible. And so I've really been enjoying, I kind of got conned into this job, but I'm glad now because I really been enjoying it. I really love our kids and really... for one, you can tell we have some good families, but they really have a lot of knowledge of the Word, and they love it. And so, I appreciate the brother Ogden. God is interested in our young people, and I can tell that. And so, where was I at? Preparation of a gospel of peace. Love one another and be a peacemaker. How's that scripture go? Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers because they shall be called the children of God," I believe, right? They will be called the children of God. And above all these, take on the shield of faith wherewith ye are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And so, faith, to me, that is the basic principle. If you want to get through a trial, you got to have faith. Brother Caleb, you got to have faith, brother. And that's what you were talking about. You know, you got to believe. My God is real. You know, when you come to church and you feel His presence, you got to hang on to that. Because there's a time when that's all you got to hang on to. There will be a time when you're going through trials, you know, that you may not be feeling God. Okay, so now what do I do? Is God here? I thought God was real, you know. I went to church and I failed Him. Now what? Where'd He go? You know. You ever seen people say that? You know. I can't feel Him now. You know, well, sometimes when you get down in the in the rut with this world, you don't feel God. In the valley of old, no brother. But let me tell you something. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I believe that, Brother Caleb. There'll be times when you don't, when it's hard, you know, when it's hard to hang on to that faith. But let me tell you, He's there. And you can. You can hang on to that faith. You can be confident. And you can know. You can know without a shadow of a doubt, my God is real. And then when you come through that trial, you can come through with joy, knowing that you've made it. You made it. You've got that confidence now that you can go through that trial and know that my God is real. And that He is a reward of those that diligently seek Him. Okay? That's another principle, prayer. But let's go to the taking on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, studying the Word of God. That's another reason we come to church, is to have to gain knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. And to have that truth established in our hearts. And that's an anchor to the soul, brother. That's what Jesus stood on when He was tempted of the devil. He gave Him Scripture. And so we know that the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the soul, to the very depths of our being. And dividing asunder, how does it say, dividing the joints and the marrow. And so the Word of God, it's powerful. If we have that in our hearts and are established, you know, it's a rock we can stand on. The Word of God. So that's important. The sword of the Spirit. You know, when the Word of God is anointed, when God anoints something, then we know for it. Then we know that's that witness that God gives us. Okay? And then praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we can pray for one another. And Jesus, you know, his message was to bear one another's burdens and to love one another. And to... Brother Smith was saying this morning that we shouldn't rejoice when our enemy falls, but Jesus taught us to pray for our enemies and to do good to those that despitefully use you. And to, you know, that is a testimony. It's a testimony of, that's one thing, that's of being a peacemaker. And it's making friends, and making things go smoother. You know, when there's trouble and trials, when there's strife, a soft. That's what I thought, brother. Painter was saying this morning, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And so, anyway, I just thought of these things. And there's principles that we can stand on to help us get through our trials. And I thank God. That's the encouragement that we get when we come. I just love our young people. And I appreciate the encouragement, brother Zach. That encouraged me, brother. You know, I love the Lord, and it's so encouraging to have these youth meetings and to have our young people on fire and serving the Lord. And so I really enjoyed it. I've been enjoying this.
let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God's eyes. Heiress of 10,000, make me a reflection of Let me words speak through me. Show me what I've never
Hallelujah. Well, God is good, isn't he? All the time. And he loves our young adults and our young people. That's just obvious to me. And we love them too. We're dependent on them. And I want our young people to know how much how thankful I am for each one of them and the touch of God that's on their life and the inspiration that it brings to us to see God touching them and God working in their lives like he's doing. So I'm just thankful that he just never ceases to meet with us when we have these youth services. So it's been a good day, hasn't it? Praise God. We've had several out today, but the Lord, he showed up. That makes the difference. And we understand, you know, there's just things that goes on in our lives, and sometimes it goes on in enough people's life that it just creates a vacancy. But, you know, and so it's not anything that we're not having a problem with it. But, I mean, I wish that there's about 200 here and there wasn't but about 20 gone, and I wouldn't notice it so much. And let's work for that. I think God's able to help us establish that. Praise God. Why don't we stand and give him a praise before we go home? It's been a good day, Sister Holly. All right, let's pray. Be in prayer for Sister Holly this week. She's trying to get a job that'll help her not miss church. Let's pray for that, Sister Sandra. Brother York. All right. Let's pray for both of them. Praise God. I've kind of had a weak spell this week, and so pray for me. It may just be pressure and stress, but anyway, it had a little weak spell that kind of knocked me down, but I'm feeling better right now. I tell you, when the Spirit of God gets on you, you can't help but feel better, Brother Daniels. So I appreciate it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, for your goodness. Oh, Lamb of God. Your precious touch on our lives. God, we give you praise. We're thankful, Lord. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. We're in your hands, Lord. We're in your hand, oh, God. Lord, we're trusting you. We have none other to trust in, oh God. Hallelujah. Our confidence, oh God, measures high in you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go with each one this week. God, touch these that are feeling ill. God, touch Brother Thompson's family and the children, and Brother Jerry and Brother Scotty. God, touch these that are out of town this weekend, and those that are sick, oh God, lift them up. Bless them this week, Lord. God, bless this week for this church, this Thanksgiving holiday. God, help us to be thankful mostly for you. Oh God, your help and your touch covering over our lives. Bless our time together and our families. Oh God, let us be a light some way. God, let a light shine in our lives to those that we're connected with, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, work in people's lives that we're connected to, Lord, and show us how to work with your Spirit in that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus. We love you. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Bless your holy name. Amen, amen. All right, God bless you. Shake hands and be friendly.